Maurice Corcoran believes that more needs to be done to find jobs for people with a disability. In fact, Australia's gone backwards on this front in the last 15 years. Maurice was left a quadriplegic after a car accident when he was just 18 years old. But he spent the last three decades campaigning to improve opportunities for people with a disability. Nowadays, he's called the principal community visitor of South Australia's Community Visitor Scheme. And last night, his hard work was recognised at the National Disability Awards in Canberra, where he received the Leslie Hall Leadership Award. Maurice, welcome to RN Breakfast and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Maurice, you were 18 years old when you broke your neck, and the doctors told your parents at the time it was one of the worst cases they'd ever seen, and you really wouldn't be able to do much from then on. Can you recall that moment, or that your parents reminded you of that moment? What was it like?
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, as happens quite frequently in country areas, when I had my car accident, I had a small case sitting on the back seat of the car and had to get off the road to let a car come the other way, got onto loose gravel and then skidded, and the car went on its side and a briefcase hit my neck. And the two ambulance drivers that came out to attend to my accident were my brother-in-law and his father. And then they went to get my parents afterwards to bring them to the hospital. But yeah, that was the words, and it was certainly a traumatic introduction to disability for my family and parents at that time. But I was flown by air ambulance over to the Royal Adelaide Hospital, where I was laid prone, and I had two steel pins put into my skull and 12 pounds of weight pulling on that for about 5 weeks to keep my neck straight.
Now, from what I understand, the breakthrough for you in sort of doing more than the doctors ever predicted you'd be able to do was a telegram that you and your parents received from the general manager of your old workplace saying, quote, if you can do anything at all after this, we want you back here working for us, which is such a fantastic gesture and sentiment. What did that do for you, that news?
It was ground shifting for me. It sort of got me to think about, okay, what can I do? What can I use my rehabilitation to do? Obviously, I couldn't go back and be an apprentice fitter and turner, but I had to look at other administrative roles that, you know, using telephones and typing and those sort of things. It was before computing had really come in, friend. So it was using electronic typewriters and those sort of things to focus on my rehab. But it was, I guess what I found out years later was that managing director, Ken Jones, who he himself had a motor vehicle accident at a similar age that I had and had gone through rehabilitation following a brain injury as a result of his accident and had made a full recovery. But he understood. He had that lived experience of what it's like to have a traumatic injury, go through rehabilitation, and the importance of getting back into a routine and getting back into work.
And that has really driven you in all the work you've done and in really the work you're doing that you've received this leadership award for, hasn't it? The importance of employment, of working, of belonging. And that sentence from your former boss that, you know, if there's anything you can do at all after this, we want you back here working for us. Do you think there's enough of that sentiment out in our companies, our businesses, our workplaces, in the sort of the minds of the employers?
No, I don't think there is, and I don't think there's enough knowledge of programs like the Job in Jeopardy program that supports return to work programs for people.
What is that? I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, well, Job in Jeopardy program is a Commonwealth-funded program that helps employers and helps employees where they have acquired a disability or an illness or an injury of any type, and they want to go back into that workplace and they need financial support. It might be for retraining, it might be for workplace modifications, or it might be for training of other staff in the office or in the area. Employers can get that, and it's a great way of using funding like that to ensure that people do get to return to work. But I guess one of the really powerful things for me as well is during my rehabilitation and at other times since, I've come across people who do have a lived experience of disability. They've been there and they're able to give really good sound advice on things to do. And, you know, they're skilled practitioners, you know, they've got qualifications in that as well. But just having people with a disability and those who, you know, might care for a person with a disability, such as you know, my wife who's a physio and works in that area, it really, the credibility and the advice carries so much more, I think, and has been inspiring for me at times to help me, you know, get ideas on how I can self-improve and do things better.
Yeah, so there's a peer support that makes a real difference. So there's one role, for instance, for people who are living with a disability that they're actually needed to encourage others to, you know, to rehabilitate, to come back and get on with it if they can and if they've got the opportunities. But what explains the statistic that I started off saying that we've gone backwards in the last 15 years in this country in terms of finding jobs for people living with disability. What explains that?
Look, I think there's a whole range of reasons behind that, and the Willing to Work inquiry by the Australian Human Rights Commission found, again, that the rates of disability discrimination in employment remain exceptionally high across all states and territories. It will continue to be where you have recruitment agencies who are risk adverse, who might, you know, rule out someone with a disability without seeing the fact that, you know, their disability and their skill sets match up particularly well for a position. So, again, I think people are just have to wear the burden of low expectations, and it's something that the previous Disability Discrimination Commissioner Graeme Innes talked about, where, you know, the burden of low expectations on people with disabilities that they won't be able to achieve or won't be able to do a job is quite often, based on ignorance and lack of understanding and lack of insight. So I think the real potential is where we have registers of people with a disability who are assessed as work ready, who've got skills and qualifications that can be matched up against notice of vacancies within government, both Commonwealth government and state and territory government agencies, so that we can match those people with the skill sets and the vacancies that are there and introduce them to at least give them a trial.
That all sounds pretty obvious, really, when you say it like that, doesn't it? The fact that it's not happening. We've spoken to some job agencies, in a sense, in recent times who are trying to do that under the NDIS. And the NDIS is all about giving people the opportunities they need to make a contribution. Mm. Can you see anything positive happening within the NDIS, just briefly and finally, on this front?
Oh, look, the promotion is that they say that they encourage people with a disability and people from diverse backgrounds to apply for positions and to do that, to get involved in that work. Again, the rates of employment and the rates of employment participation for people with disabilities remain far lower. Yeah, it's 53% compared to 84% of the normal population. And the rates of unemployment are still up around, very high so for people with disabilities. So it'd be great if we had, in all the rehabilitation settings such as stroke, spinal injury and brain injury units, if we had people with a lived experience. I see the benefits of it when we do visits and inspections to acute mental health units where they have peer specialists. They have people who have recovered from a mental illness working in there, and they have carer consultants, people who have cared for someone with a mental illness in the past. And that has a really empowering it really empowers those people and work with people through their rehabilitation. It's been a great initiative with great outcomes. And I think we could adapt a similar sort of model of those sort of peer supports, lived experience supports, in a whole range of hospital and rehabilitation centres across the country.
And that would have the dual benefit of helping the healing and the rehabilitation and providing some kind of career path for people with disability. Maurice, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for all your work. And on behalf of the country, congratulations on the Leslie Hall Leadership Award.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Maurice Corcoran is a disability advocate and recognised last night for 3 decades of work improving the lives of people with disability.